Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A farewell to arms treaty. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, February 22nd. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Ahead of the one-year anniversary of his war on Ukraine, Russia's president is backing out of the nuclear arms pact between Moscow and Washington.
The Biden administration has a new proposal to limit the number of asylum seekers at the U.S. border with Mexico. We'll explain it.
Tens of millions of Americans are under winter storm warnings or advisories thanks to a system that extends 2,600 miles.
And a simple cure for some who feel lonely, a phone call.
We've just kind of gotten out of practice of calling people. Usually, you know, you text someone, hey, is now a good time to call? So calling someone out of the blue, it just doesn't happen as much anymore. So when it does, you think, oh my gosh, something's wrong. And there are plenty of people, plenty of women, men too, who just don't like phone calls for various reasons and prefer the convenience of texting.
Julie Jargon met the Wall Street Journal on phone calls instead of texts, DMs and social media comments to help with feelings of loneliness. President Biden is reiterating Western allies' commitment to supporting Ukraine as it fights Russia. His remarks yesterday in Poland were just ahead of the one-year mark of Russia's invasion. Thousands watched outside the Royal Palace in Warsaw.
President Putin's craven lust for land and power will fail, and the Ukrainian people's love for their country will prevail.
Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Moscow is stepping back from the last remaining major nuclear arms control treaty between the U.S. and Russia, the new START treaty, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
Putin must not win. That would show that aggression works and force is rewarded. It will be dangerous for our own security and for the whole world.
The Wall Street Journal says Russia has been refusing for months anyway to allow U.S. inspections of Russian nuclear facilities. President Biden had unilaterally extended the treaty in his first days in office. Tens of thousands of migrants arriving at the southern border could be barred from claiming asylum under a new proposal from the Biden administration. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The administration is trying to limit who can qualify for asylum after crossing the border illegally. Those who would now be ineligible, migrants who move through another country on the way and don't first apply for asylum in that country. The proposed rule is similar to a policy instituted by the Trump administration in 2019, known as the transit ban. It comes as Title 42 is set to end in May. That rule allowed officials to rapidly expel migrants seeking asylum under a public health rule during the pandemic. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. President Biden campaigned against many of the restrictive border policies enforced by former President Trump. But in the last 2 years, he has maintained or in some cases expanded them. The administration projects that the end of Title 42 could lead to an increase of up to 13,000 daily encounters at the border if there are not any policy changes. Well, the fate of President Biden's $400 billion student debt relief plan is coming into sharper focus as the Supreme Court returns to the bench this week and resumes oral arguments. Yesterday, the court also heard arguments about a hotly debated law that shields big tech companies like Google from lawsuits. Justice Clarence Thomas.
I'm trying to get you to explain to us how something that is standard on YouTube for virtually anything that you have an interest in suddenly amounts to aiding and abetting because you're in the ISIS category.
More now from John Fritzy, Supreme Court correspondent at USA Today. John, what's the debate over internet protection?
This is Section 230, a thing you've heard a lot about, a lot of disfavor toward this law from both Republicans, namely former President Donald Trump, but Democrats don't love it either. And so there's a lot of partisan dispute over this law, but it's not like strictly a Republican Democrat thing. There's anger on it from both sides. This is the law, by the way, that shields big internet companies like Google and Facebook from liability for content provided by users. So think about, like, if you post a tweet that is libel, let's say, who gets sued for that? Is it Twitter or is it you who posted the tweet. And so Section 230 says that Twitter can't be sued for that. And that's been a point of contention for a long time. So the court heard arguments in that case. And then next week, I think probably the one that people are most paying attention to is a case dealing with Biden's student loan program. This is a $400 billion program that basically forgives student debt up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients. And this is a program that's been challenged by a number of states and a number of individuals. We'll hear arguments in that case next week.
Speaking with John Fritzy, Supreme Court correspondent at USA Today. Could you tell which way the court was leaning, John, in its questions with regards to the internet liability law?
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway really was that the court is hesitant to get into a sweeping ruling here that could really change the way the internet works. There was a lot of concern and a lot of concern raised by Google and some of these companies about the possibility of, if you eliminate liability protection for, say, recommendations, which is what's at issue here. So say when you watch a YouTube video, the next video that's recommended, that's not really content that is provided by a user. The plaintiffs in this case argue that that's a Google thing, right? That's their speech. What Google and some of these companies have said, that is, if you take liability away for that, that's a real problem, because not only are we talking about video recommendations, we're talking about everything, right? A Google search is a form of recommended content. And if liability goes away for that, that can have a really big implication on how the internet works. And so I think that the court signaled that they're not interested in going that far, but I think they are still struggling somewhat with where to draw the line.
And does it seem at this point, John, that arguments over Title 42 are just not going to happen? Since the COVID emergency is going to end?
It seems that way. I mean, you've nailed it exactly right. I mean, the authority that allowed Title 42, which of course is the program that allows for the rapid expulsion of certain migrants, many of whom are seeking asylum in the country and normally are provided some sort of a review of that asylum claim. The COVID emergency that allowed that rapid expulsion to take place, the Biden administration has said, hey, look, we're not going to have that come May. And so, the government, the Biden administration has argued that really moots this case, that there's really no issue to debate here if the underlying emergency is gone. And, while the Supreme Court didn't say one way or the other how they feel about that, the fact that they took a case that they had scheduled for March 1st arguments and just taken it off the calendar, completely replaced it with another case, just that they are concerned about that possibility as well.
I get the sense there's not the same intense feelings as there were, what was it, last June with regards to the Roe v. Wade decision?
Well, not in any of these cases. I mean, I do think that there is an awful lot of focus on some other cases that were argued earlier in this term last year, including the affirmative action case, of course, being the big one, dealing with Harvard and the University of North Carolina and whether those schools and other schools can consider race. There's also a big case dealing with LGBTQ rights and when businesses that provide content, such as website developers, can be required under state anti-discrimination laws to provide that content to same-sex marriages, and when they can say, look, that goes against my religion, I'm not going to do it. So I think there are some big cases, but I would agree with you that the focus has not been as intense as it was.
Thanks, John. John Fritzy, Supreme Court correspondent at USA Today.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Dell Technologies President's Day business event starts now with deals to power America's doers and dreamers. Save on select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. U.S., the entire country is expected to experience some form of notable weather this week. Tens of millions from the Pacific Northwest to the Northeast are bracing for snow, frozen rain, strong winds, and potential flash flooding that has prompted winter weather alerts in 23 states, with 6 states under blizzard warnings. Travel conditions will be very difficult, if not impossible, around the Midwest, with winds gusting up to 50 miles per hour across interstates 90, 80, 29, and 35. Minneapolis is on track for its second biggest snowfall of all time. Further west, Monique Michaud with California Highway Patrol in Palmdale.
They're telling us that the snow levels could drop to as low as 1,000 feet. Here in the Antelope Valley, we're at 2,500 feet, so that will definitely affect our Grapevine area on the 5, the Tejon Pass, and it can affect the southern portions of the 14 freeway coming from the Canyon Country area into the Palmdale area.
On top of all that, it could be 90 in the nation's capital tomorrow. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says Moscow will step back from the last remaining major nuclear arms control treaty between the U.S. and Russia and vowed to continue the military campaign in Ukraine. Putin's address came hours before President Biden sought to rally international support for Ukraine and Poland.
This war is never a necessity. It's a tragedy. President Putin chose this war.
Besides pausing its involvement in the New START treaty, Putin said Russia would also stand ready to test nuclear weapons if the U.S. moved to do so first.
Number two.
Supreme Court justices reacted skeptically Tuesday to claims that YouTube parent Google could be sued for algorithms that automatically recommended extremist recruiting videos. In the first session of a two-day round of arguments testing the liability of internet providers for material posted online, Justice Clarence Thomas addressed the lawyer for a family of a U.S. college student killed during 2015 terrorist attacks in Paris.
I don't understand how a neutral suggestion about something that you've expressed an interest in is aiding and abetting. I don't understand it.
A 1996 measure shields providers from liability for content others upload to their platforms.
Number three.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says his office has taken action in response to the recent train derailment over the border in East Palestine, Ohio, and the after effects on the environment in nearby communities.
My Department of Environmental Protection made a criminal referral to the Attorney General's office. My Office of General Counsel is looking at other legal steps that we might take.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine also signaled during yesterday's news conference Ohio is preparing to take legal action. Meanwhile, the EPA said rail operator Norfolk Southern must pay for cleaning up the mess. How about this mashup? The Rolling Stones and the two surviving members of the Beatles, Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney. According to Variety, McCartney has already recorded bass parts for a forthcoming Stones project, and recording sessions have recently taken place in Los Angeles. This would be the Stones' first album of original material since 2005. It would also be a breakthrough in Beatles-Stones relations, which have fluctuated from warmly competitive to downright icy over the years.
Some legendary names getting together. Thank you, Jen. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do almost anything, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up the way you want to. Working with a therapist at BetterHelp can help you get closer to the best version of you. BetterHelp can show you positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Using those tools can help you toward empowerment, putting you on a path to the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. Visit BetterHelp.com/deal. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/deal today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deal. BetterHelp.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. More women are battling loneliness by embracing more phone conversations. Here's Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, what have you found?
Yeah, I found that a lot of women and some men are going back to good old-fashioned phone calls to connect with friends. People are getting tired of the overwhelming amount of text messages coming in. Feels like we're always on our phones texting with friends, family members, teachers, whoever. And a lot of women are just feeling like they're not getting the kind of connection they want. through that. And some women are carving out time to call friends every week.
It was powerful. One woman said, you can't tell if somebody's falling apart by text.
Yeah. You know, a lot of women told me that they feel like text conversations with friends are fairly superficial, kind of transactional. And you don't really, you know, people aren't really honest when you're texting them and you say, hey, how are you doing? Someone's just going to say, I'm fine. You know, they're not going to share much over text the way they might if you're having a phone call with them, when you can hear the tone of their voice and have some time to really talk deeply, maybe ask some follow-up questions. It's just going to be a kind of a cursory communication when it's text-based.
And yet at least one woman in your story said, oh, I dread phone calls. And I think at least somebody else, if not her, made the point that, you know, when you cold call somebody these days, somebody immediately assumes that something's wrong, that something happened.
Yeah, we've just kind of gotten out of practice of calling people. Usually, you know, you text someone, hey, is now a good time to call? So calling someone out of the blue, it just doesn't happen as much anymore. So when it does, you think, oh my gosh, something's wrong. And there are plenty of people, plenty of women, men too, who just don't like phone calls for various reasons and prefer the convenience of texting. But there are a lot of women who just you know, decided this isn't enough to sustain friendships over the long term. And to get a deeper level of connection, they need to talk to each other. And of course, seeing each other is even better. But when you've got friends all over the country, all over the world, that you can't see very often, a phone call is really kind of the next best thing.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon. She writes the Family and Tech column at the Wall Street Journal. This piece is called They Found a Radical Cure for Loneliness, the Phone Call. The one woman you spoke to, I think first in the story, I think her name is Dalton Wilshire from Ontario. Explain what she found through this.
Yeah, she decided to make a point of tracking her phone calls because she felt like, you know, she tracks everything that she does for work. And so if she measures, you know, the different things that she wants to do, kind of personal goals, she'll make it happen. So she started keeping a journal where she would check off, you know, when she would take walks, when she would drink more water, when she would make phone calls. And she decided to have one phone call, one video call, and one in-person interaction with friends each week.
Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Edgy, smart, bringing you what you need to know. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, February 22. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Biden reiterates support for Ukraine. Putin bails on a nuclear arms treaty. A winter storm stretches 2,600 miles. Stocks tumbled on Fed worries. Biden administration proposes new limits for asylum seekers. An opinion piece in the New York Times cites research that says for the population as a whole, masks made no difference during the pandemic. Pentagon warns soldiers to stay away from baked food with poppy seeds, risking a positive drug test. And the cancer survivor with a game-winning basket. Her story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies' President's Day business sale going on now has savings on select business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-ASK-DELL. As Silicon Valley slashed some 100,000 jobs in the past 6 weeks in repentance for its pandemic-era hiring binge, much of the focus has been on those who suddenly found themselves out of work in the middle of their careers. But the hardest hit have been those who have yet to break into the industry. It's a story by Aki Ito, senior correspondent at Insider. Aki, paint the current picture.
So, I mean, it continues to just be a bloodbath in the tech industry. It's gotten worse and worse and worse over time. It's looking pretty bad. And I think most of the news, you know, has really focused on these people who've lost their jobs in the middle of their careers. But the people I've been thinking about, especially over the last few weeks, are, you know, the young people who haven't gotten their foot in the industry yet, the college students and the grad students who thought that, you know, this wonderful, lucrative, stable job would be waiting for them once they were out of school.
Yeah. And so it's not going to be. And many of them, I think, as you said, kind of maybe we're aware of what happened with Wall Street not all that long ago. And big tech was kind of seen as the place to run to, but not anymore. That reputation has been soiled a little bit, it seems.
Yeah. So, you know, I graduated into the Great Recession back in 2009. And a lot of my friends back then were losing their job offers at the big investment banks. You know, after that, this whole generation that came of age right after that, they all wanted to go work for Silicon Valley, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks that were growing and growing and growing. And these jobs were incredibly stable, incredibly lucrative. You got tons of great perks. But I think that era is really coming to an end. And, you know, these Gen Z students who are just about to start looking for jobs right now, they're suddenly realizing, where do we go? We were always counting on tech, but that's not available anymore.
What's the advice for them these days, Aki?
So I spoke to a lot of career counselors at, you know, the top engineering schools, and they all talked about really trying to push their students to think more broadly. Before, they might have wanted to go only to like the top five, top six tech companies in Silicon Valley. But now they're, you know, at least these career counselors are trying to urge them to broaden their horizons, to consider industries they never would have considered before, like government, for example, or manufacturing or construction. The rest of the economy is actually doing great. We're still in a very healthy job market. It's just that tech specifically is doing really poorly.
Yeah. We're speaking with Aki Ito, senior correspondent at Insider. Her story is called Big Tech's Massive Layoffs Will Come Back to Haunt It. Before we get to being haunted, I thought it was interesting, too, at some of these career fairs, right, which just didn't seem to have the same attendance by recruiters as usual.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these tech companies knew they were in a really bad position for some time now, you know, probably for almost a year. And so it makes sense that, you know, the university recruiters weren't going to these top schools as much as they were before, even as early as this past fall. A lot of the career services centers I spoke to said, you know, they did seem, you know, noticeably absent, even starting in the fall. And a lot of the job offers at these big tech companies, they go out to students by the late fall. So, you know, they were seeing a pretty early indication that this wasn't going to be, you know, a good year for the students who, you know, were hoping to go into the tech industry.
Talk about how big tech, I guess, could be haunted by all these layoffs.
Yeah. So, you know, one really interesting kind of, you know, theme of the conversations I was having with both students and, you know, the people who are advising them is that, you know, the class of 2023 is now really focused on job stability in a way that felt kind of new to them. I think because they're seeing all this news of the layoffs, and they want something that's secure and something that's sure. And because the tech industry just isn't that, you know, haven of stability that it once was, I think a lot of students now are rethinking, you know, kind of what their dream job is.
Aki Ito, senior correspondent at Insider.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know it takes a lot to get up in front of an audience with cameras rolling and compete on a game show, especially for a teenager. The last thing you'd want, especially at that age, is to go viral for blowing your chance at a big prize. That's what happened to one Wheel of Fortune contestant this week who missed her chance at a tropical vacation. On Monday, with a trip to Antigua on the line, a contestant was presented with an extremely solvable puzzle: fresh tropical fruit. All that was missing from the puzzle was the S in fresh. But when it came time to guess the remaining letter, the teen bizarrely went with G instead, to audible surprise from the audience. When another contestant solved the puzzle, host Pat Sajak tried to comfort the embarrassed teen, intimating that it's a lot easier to play at home than it is on stage.
That is for sure. I am terrible at Wheel of Fortune.
Really?
Horrible.
I wouldn't have thought
horrible.
That.
I can survive, like, generally speaking, on Jeopardy. I couldn't win Jeopardy, but, yeah. Like, oh, I know. Unless it's literary, right? I don't read books. I wouldn't know. Unless it's Grisham or DeMille or perhaps Curious George from back in the day.
Like, right.
I don't know books.
Yeah.
But I am, for some reason, I'm terrible at Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, so maybe you'd be the opposite. Maybe you'd be better on stage than you are at home. Maybe there's something about being at home where you're too relaxed.
I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't count on it. And he did a great job of consoling this teen.
Yeah.
Basically telling everybody at home, yeah, you come up here and try it with the lights on you.
That's kind of his main job, especially when the teens are there, is basically to be like consoler in chief. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Anybody who makes a mistake like this. And speaking of fails, the Philadelphia Eagles, as we know, failed to win the Super Bowl last week, despite a confident fan base who were ready to celebrate. One man was so confident, in fact, that he went and got a large tattoo on his arm before the game with the Eagles logo, the Super Bowl 57 logo, and Super Bowl champs inked on the bottom. When that didn't happen, the man decided to get the tattoo fixed in what many are calling the best way possible. Above the original tattoo area, the fan had the artist add a large, crying Michael Jordan face, which looks great in tattoo form. Social media users love the fan owning his mistake, with some saying the new masterpiece should be called Cry Eagles Cry.
Ah.
I love that.
Yeah, I know you do. In fact, I was just going to reread the first line of your story.
Yeah.
And imagine you saying it in your angry Giants voice. And speaking of fails.
Right. I mean, they only lost by, a couple points. But still, major fail.
Yeah. And I could see, definitely, Eagles fans turning on this guy.
Yeah.
And saying, you're the reason we lost that game.
I don't know.
To go get the tattoo first.
Normally,
you jinxed it.
Normally, I'd say yes, but I think you and I both know the Eagles fans were supremely confident before that game. More confident than they probably ever have been in their entire fandom. They really, really thought they were going to win that game. All the Eagles fans I knew, supremely confident they were going to win that game.
They greased the poles, too.
That's what I'm saying. Pre-greasing the poles and the whole thing.
To keep the celebrants from from getting out of control.
They were ready to celebrate.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. You don't need a bachelor's degree to have figured out this science. The less a student sleeps every night, the lower their grade point average will be. That's according to a 2-year study of the sleep habits of more than 600 college freshmen. The Washington Post looked at the research, which found that every lost hour of average nightly sleep at the start of an academic term was associated with a 0.07 of a point drop in a student's end-of-term GPA. When a student slept less than 6 hours a night, the effect of lost sleep on a student's grades was even more pronounced. David Cresswell, lead author of the study and a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, calls it accumulating sleep debt. Sleep, especially undisturbed sleep, helps the brain process and retain information that it's learned. And when someone is sleep-deprived, attention span and memory are also impaired. The new study is in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. In general, for teenagers, the recommendation is 8 to 10 hours of sleep. For those 18 to 25 years old, it drops to 7 to 9 hours. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A powerful winter storm has started to pummel the U.S. from coast to coast, bringing heavy snow and gusty winds. Advisories include winter storm warnings for more than 13 million people and blizzard warnings for 1.3 million. This plow driver is working around Salt Lake City.
When they try to pass us, they drive in front of us and they end up spinning out because there's no salt or sand on the road yet.
The storm is expected to bring between 1 to 2 feet of snow across western mountain ranges. It's now moving through the Midwest with powerful winds and heavy rates of snowfall that could lead to power outages.
Number two.
The Wall Street Journal says Chinese leader Xi Jinping is preparing to visit Moscow for a summit with Russia's president in the coming months as Vladimir Putin wages war in Ukraine. Beijing says it wants to play a more active role aimed at ending the conflict, and the people familiar with Xi's trip plans say a meeting with Putin would be part of a push for multi-party peace talks. But Western nations express skepticism about Chinese diplomatic initiative.
Number three.
The Biden administration is proposing to limit who can qualify for asylum after crossing the border illegally in the U.S., making migrants who move through another country on the way and don't first apply for asylum in that country ineligible. The proposed rule, put forward by the Homeland Security and Justice Departments, is similar to a policy instituted by the Trump administration in 2019, known as the transit ban. Last month, Customs and Border Protection encountered about 5,000 migrants at and between the ports of entry, a sharp decline from December. A Texas man who bought a secondhand CD from a small-town thrift shop made a surprising discovery inside the case, a Polaroid photo of President John F. Kennedy on the day of his assassination. George Rabella says he was at a thrift store in Ferris when he decided to buy a Bachman Turner Overdrive CD. About a month after the purchase, he opened the CD case and discovered the Polaroid of Kennedy riding the motorcade in Dallas. The date handwritten on the back of the photo, 11-22-63, the day of Kennedy's assassination. Rabella says he hasn't decided yet whether to keep the photo or try to sell it to a collector.
Oh, goodness. Wow. Thank you, Jen. Dell Technologies President's Day business event starts now with deals to power America's doers and dreamers. Save on select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. For 17-year-old Raquel Elardo, a game-winning shot capped off a years-long battle with cancer. Rocky, as she goes by, is a high school senior and member of the girls' varsity basketball team at Heritage High School in Leesburg, Virginia. She made the game-winning buzzer beater that clinched the win for her team against Rock Ridge High School. The emotional moment was captured on camera. ABC News says Rocky was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma in 2019. The National Cancer Institute says Ewing sarcoma is a type of tumor that affects the bones or the body's soft tissues. Throughout her high school years, Rocky said she's had to receive numerous treatments which have limited her participation on the basketball team, even though she's been a member all 4 years. She did chemo her freshman and sophomore years, then radiation her junior year. There were also surgeries freshman and senior year to remove cancer. Doctors told Rocky she had no evidence of the disease, so she was able to play on January 27th when she made the game-winning shot. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.